bullies. All right, God loves all, no exceptions. And I have a really hard time being a person who shares God's love with folks who bully others. Take Peninnah from this week's Bible reading. I don't like her. She treated Hannah cruelly. She provoked her just to irritate her. She made fun of her. You can't have a baby. I'm going to make fun of you. What she did to Hannah was awful, unkind, unconscionable, and simply mean. And Peninnah was jealous. Elkanah was more generous with Hannah than with her. Peninnah acted out of jealousy. But what she did was bullying, pure and simple. It was cruel and it was unnecessary. So I don't have warm feelings toward Peninnah. I also know no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. We say that. We try to live that. Also, God loves everyone, not just the people you like or agree with. God loves everyone. Oh, but I still have a really difficult time showing kindness and love for folks who bully, manipulate, exploit, ridicule, or abuse others. I confess. Yep, I got a real hard time with that. I have a really difficult time showing kindness and love for folks who make up lies or who distort what other people say or use fear and hate as weapons or call some of God's children evil and cruel names and do it all while calling themselves Christian. Hey, why don't you say what you really think, Kirk? That's what I really think. Some folks have read this Bible reading, the one about Hannah and Peninnah, and they say that the relationship between Peninnah and Hannah was different than, of course, that I'm making out. They said that Peninnah, out of a kindness that is difficult to understand, did what she had to do to keep Hannah praying so that Hannah would have a child. That's how some people have explained this verse. And my single word description to that one isn't appropriate to say, so let me temper it somewhat and just say, no. There is no justification for bullying, manipulating, exploiting, ridiculing, or abusing anyone at all, ever. So whenever I read this Bible passage, I get angry at Peninnah. But the reading isn't really about her. There's more. Hannah was really upset about not having a baby. Her husband tried to console her, and he didn't do a great job. He did a very poor job. Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? No. Hannah went to church. Okay, she went to the temple. Maybe there she would find someone who understood, and she prayed. She prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed. She promised God that if she had a boy, that she would dedicate him as one who would serve God always. That was what it was to be a Nazarite. She prayed constantly. She prayed without making noise, but still moving her lips. And that's when Eli the priest thought she was drunk. How long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourselves? Put away your wine. He didn't understand either. Maybe he had seen her pray like this before and thought she was drunk then and just never said anything, and he finally said that. Maybe he just didn't have a high regard for women. Just because he was a rabbi did not make him perfect. We see, he did a poor job of being caring and pastoral to someone who was in deep distress. Whatever his reason, he thought she was drunk, and instead of reaching out and understanding, he scolded her with a rabbi's loftiness. But instead of returning fire, Hannah told Eli what was going on. She asked for his help. And my friend Maren Tirabassi is a writer for several United Church of Christ resources, and this is what she describes happened when Hannah said this to Eli, when she reached out for help. It says, she shook the holier-than-thou right out of him. I love that. Shook the holier-than-thou right out of him. Here's a little side note. I'm not that old, but I'm almost 48. In my years, here's a wonderful approach to make a complaint, like, this product broke, or I need to complain to the manager, or I'm not getting any satisfaction, and no one is willing to help. The situation, that any of those situations, I think the best thing to do is to ask this simple question to whomever might be in a position to help you along that way, is say, can you help me? Because when you start with, can you help me, people are like, well, of course. And when you start with, I have a complaint, people go right on the defensive. It shakes the holier-than-thou right out of people when you say, can you help me? Eli, the holier-than-thou shaken right out of him, said, may God grant your request. And God did. Hannah had a son named Samuel. He served God. He grew up to be the leader who anointed Saul and David as kings of Israel. Happy ending. Okay, it wasn't exactly a happy ending there because Saul and David had some problems there, but Samuel had a big part in the good side of that. The Bible doesn't say that Hannah made snippy comments back to Peninnah. It doesn't say anything more about Peninnah at all. And I know I'm going to hold on to my anger at her. Maybe I should let go of it, but it's a kind of anger that says, I don't want people to act that way. She shouldn't have acted that way. It doesn't really add to the story at all of how Samuel was born. But it's part of the story to let us know that, hey, guess what? Not everyone in the Bible is all sugar-coated and doing the right thing. We've got an awful lot of that. This is just another example. But if I were trying to focus on Hannah, and I'm going to try to focus on Hannah, try to focus on what she did. She was upset. She was greatly distressed. She wouldn't eat. She was miserable. Today's reading says she was vexed. She wasn't drunk. But she had great anxiety, the kind that makes you unable to do almost anything. But Hannah could pray. She poured out her soul to God. There is nothing we cannot pour out to God in prayer. God is not like a cosmic vending machine where you pray and it happens. But there is still nothing that we can't pour out to God in prayer. God can sift through jumbled thoughts. God can sift through powerful emotions. God gets our prayers even when we have trouble naming, feeling, or even acknowledging what it is we're praying about. God gets our prayers when we're worried, depressed, angry, confused, anxious, anything. God hears our prayers. And I know that the happy ending that Hannah had, at least for a little while, how can an ending be for a little while? But Samuel was born. That's the happy ending of this particular Bible reading. I know that that happy ending, the one that Hannah experienced, isn't the way things always happen. There isn't always an open door where a window was closed, or an open window where a door was closed. And maybe it's the happy ending isn't the way things usually happen. But in the midst of whatever ending or part of the journey you're on, God hears our prayers. No conditions. So, this Sunday, are you wondering about money for 2013 and how we're going to fill all those board and committee positions in the coming year at St. Paul's? God hears our prayers. You have trouble forgiving someone? God hears our prayers. Are you angry? God hears our prayers. Are you happy? God hears our prayers. Are you thinking lightning would strike if you ever came to church? Or if you're here in church, if you ever came again? God hears our prayers. Are you scared? God hears our prayers. Are you drunk? God hears our prayers. Have you made a mistake? God hears our prayers. Are you worried? God hears our prayers. Feeling strong? God hears our prayers. Don't think you're good? God hears our prayers. Grieving? God hears our prayers. Are you doubting? God hears our prayers. Are you not doing it right? Or has someone told you you're not doing it right? God hears our prayers. Are you bitter? God hears our prayers. Anxious? God hears our prayers. Angry? Happy? Unbelieving? Scared? Drunk? Mistaken? Worried? Strong? Not good? Grieving? Doubting? Not doing it right? Bitter? Even filled with great anxiety. Amen.